the blood of Jesus Christ. I know to some it may sound a little strange, but that's why we get saved. That's why we're able to be saved. It's because Jesus was willing to shed his blood for us. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 19-22, I want to talk about our mission. I'm going to talk about our mission, that is, with regards to the AIB, and your mission with regards to what Christ expects you. And the verse, I did not catch the reference for the verse.
1 Corinthians 15.
That's what I thought, 1 Corinthians 15. 1-10. Paul is trying to come to a summary of what your mission is about and how you got enlisted in that mission. As I travel throughout Virginia on behalf of the Virginia Assembly of Independent Baptists, my heart is thankful for faithful believers that I've been blessed to meet. That's the one thing that my wife and I have enjoyed enormously. We've taught predominantly in Christian schools, although, as I said, in Sunday school, my wife is a registered nurse, and she's also done nursing. I've only been in three ministries before I came into the AIB. And in each of those ministries, because I was so involved in the ministry, I was a full-time staff person, involved in teaching and education, I only knew what those churches were like. The church I was saved in at age 17, where I became a teacher for a Christian school there, Fellowship Baptist Church, which is no longer in existence. Second church was a church in Arkansas, Victory Baptist Church, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Does anybody know where Pine Bluff is? If you do, you are an unusual person. And then a guy called me back to Virginia, but in the 3 years that I was gone, the church where I was saved had a Christian school ministry, closed the Christian school ministry, so I had no ministry to come back to. And so I went to Landmark Baptist Church and began teaching in the Christian school there. And I spent my longest tenure, 26 years, teaching and ministering in that church. And I'm thankful for what God called me. But during those years, I learned some things. Number one, not every independent Baptist church is alike. Did you know that? They're different. I had never visited other churches. And I got the flavor from the southwest to the north, the south side to the central. Churches are independent and led by a pastor that God has called to do the work that Jesus Christ has called them to do. Same purpose, same basic mission, different ways of maybe accomplishing it. However, sometimes we can get sidetracked. I'm burdened because those in the churches, some of them have allowed frustration over certain issues boil over into an anger that's actually causing our church harm and is causing our churches to get immobilized, or they forget the mission that they're on. The enemy's agenda sometimes isn't one just to stop us, but sometimes just to get us distracted and sidetracked. I want to talk to you about the mission that God has given us, has given us, his people, here in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Our mission has not changed. And this book, has not changed.
Amen.
As I said, if you look in 1 Corinthians 19-22, it says this: "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus," verse 19, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven, or things in earth, or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies." You know what? I say Corinthians, didn't I? I apologize. I was got Corinthians on my mind. Colossians. Let's start over. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. You think, this guy's got a way different version than what I got. I'm sorry, I got Corinthians on my mind for Colossians. "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross," thanks to that song that we just heard, "by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Paul wrote to the Colossians to refute a false teaching that was going around, which was basically denigrating the deity of Christ, saying that Jesus was actually not God. That idea still floats around, by the way. Though Paul had never visited this church, he addressed those issues head on. The nature of Jesus Christ as creator and redeemer was non-negotiable. It was critical to him that this church know God in his greatness and glory, rather than in the deficient view given them by the false teachers, which is why churches need to be strong against moving into teachings that are not biblical. Verse 20 states that Christ is reconciling everything to himself. And as we discuss some of the issues in the state of Virginia, I want to start with this amazing truth, that everything that is occurring is not taking God by surprise. And this is part of the reconciliation story. So there were some things that I mentioned in Sunday school that some of you were not here for that I will talk about a little bit again, just as a springboard with regards to our mission. We all have a part to play. The answer to our country is the truth of God's word penetrating hearts and souls and seeing people transformed according to the Bible. Acts 26:18, in fact, says, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Why is it we do what we do? Not every state has a ministry exactly like VAIB. Most states have ministries more similar to another organization in Virginia called the Family Foundation. It's a broader-based camp, you might say, or a broader-based organization that encompasses evangelicals that do believe the truths of this book. Now, earlier I said that our mission, VAIB's mission, hasn't changed. And as I showed in Sunday school, the mission states as follows. Our purpose is to rally the independent Baptists in the Commonwealth of Virginia in strengthening our position on issues for the common good of all and to inform pastors concerning things of a critical nature that affect our local churches and their ministries. In the beginning, because we didn't have emails or rapid ways of connecting with churches, we first and foremost connected to the pastor, and then the pastor would disseminate information to the church. Today, that is why we opened it up to everybody to receive emails insofar as information that we put out with our newsletter and other areas. There are times, though, that I do only communicate with pastors because there are some things specifically that I believe that the pastor should be informed about and we should be able to deal with. But since 2018 in Virginia, getting back to our story, we have seen a major shift in the political landscape here in Virginia. The funny thing is that this is more like seeing the pendulum swing in the political arena. Now, I know some people don't like us to address or say we're involved in the political arena, but folks, if you expect to have any say in what goes on around you in the laws, you've got to be involved. It's that simple. If you want to say, well, I'm not going to be involved, then nothing's going to happen, then the same thing's going to happen to you, just like happened with Nazi Germany attacking the Jews, the Christians, and anybody else that Hitler didn't like. We've seen our governor, though, push for the most radical agenda that we've seen in Virginia to date. Amen. Now, again, if you actually go back, probably back into the 70s, we're actually returning to some of the same type of political leanings as was back in the 70s. But back in the 70s, the liberals would have been considered conservative in today's definition. That's kind of a little bit odd, but that is actually the truth. As I mentioned earlier, I'm thankful God has a plan for the church through all of this. For over 40 years, the work of the AIB has been to inform and rally the churches on issues and to counteract politically progressive ideas that would negatively impact the operation of the church. Now, this is one area where VAIB is slightly different from some of these other organizations, because we have certain things which, through the years, the pastors have developed in what's called the resolutions to pinpoint certain areas that are connected to this Bible, for the most part, that we deal with. There's only one area outside of this book that we hold to, and that is the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, freedom of religion and freedom of speech. That is the only thing different outside of this book that we tie into beyond this book. Otherwise, VAIB has tried to focus, what is it that would impact religious liberties, the church liberties, and areas related to those areas? And one of the other main areas has been education, because we believe that it's the responsibility of parents to educate, and they should educate with biblical basis in their education. During the General Assembly, I have a twofold thing that I do. First of all, I pray. My prayer is for God to give me strength. Some of you would say, yeah, I'd need strength if I was there too. But I understand that you may have a different perspective insofar as strength, because we war not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness of this world. And that's where we're going to face it head on, people. I'm going to face it head on there at the General Assembly. My goal is not just to stop legislation that's hurtful to our mission, but that I would demonstrate Christ to those who walk the halls of the General Assembly. And it goes beyond elected officials that are there. Sometimes when I'm talking to Christians about my work, I can see it in their face. They start to get a little red in the face, and their jaw clenches, because there's an anger and a hatred toward those on the other side of the political spectrum. We don't have a political position. We have a biblical position that we stand on that happens to be involved in the political arena. That's what you've got to understand. Why are we surprised when sinners commit sin? Why are you surprised when some of the people at the General Assembly don't agree with what we stand for? They don't believe what's in this book. They haven't been regenerated. They haven't been born again. Can we expect sinners to do any less?
No.
However, we still have an obligation. I have an obligation that in order to reach sinners, we must show them the love of Christ. Second, my prayer is that God would use our churches to see a great harvest in Virginia. You want to see different people elected? You have to get people to have a different perspective. And part of that involves them getting saved. But can I also tell you, man, I find this hard to believe. Like I said, there's lots of different kinds of independent Baptist churches out there. Some of them may not have exactly the same opinion you have about certain things. There are certain things that are doctrinal that nothing can change or should change. But there are other areas of opinion where we could change, or we could have a different opinion. The fact that those who do not know Christ and that they want to see the LGBTQ plus agenda move forward shouldn't surprise us. I mean, I was disappointed in hearing this morning. Someone asked me in Sunday school about them, certain companies starting to teach the CRT, critical race theory. In other words, trying to restate the narrative as to what happened historically. If you want to know what happened historically, you ought to go to historical sources. And historical sources don't agree with the critical race theory. I'll just leave it at that.
Amen.
But again, the fact that unsaved people don't want to see religious teachings in our Christian schools shouldn't surprise us either. As it's been throughout history, we are in a day and age when every man seems to do that which is right in their own eyes. The fact that we even have had stated socialists elected to our government just blows my mind. But we have. It was funny because in the preliminaries, in the primaries, one of those self-stated socialists lost in his own primary, and so he's not even running for his seat now. So maybe some of the people in that area are wising up. I don't know, but the person that replaced him isn't a whole lot better in the Democratic Party. Again, this is the Democratic Party. Now, we are not partisan. We're not for one party or the other, but this is just funny because there have been, I think there were five that were incumbents that lost in their primaries, some Republican, some Democrat. I'm surprised, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised because I've seen it happen before. But the light that's going to shine from our churches and our people to influence our communities each and every day must shine brightly with the gospel. So when I talk about the why, it's to keep this church open and free and to use the greatest window of opportunity to our churches to evangelize their communities with the gospel, because that's first and foremost that we need to reach our communities. How do we do this? As we have talked about the mission and the why, I want to give you some updates on the how, because COVID really did complicate things this past year, and the impact is still being felt. I'm not going to tell you about whether you should or should not get a vaccination. I'm going to tell you this. I have a biology degree. My wife is a nurse. We felt compelled to get vaccinated. We felt like it was important. And it's sad to say, as I said in Sunday school, I know of two pastors who got COVID that were pastors of our independent Baptist churches that did not want to get vaccinated, and two of them had passed away. One was maybe on the older side, one was older than me, and one was younger than me. The fact is, this is a very deadly and very difficult type of disease that is going around, and whether we want to say it's like a cold, not like a cold, look, doesn't matter. You have to make your choice, and my wife and I had to make our choice. But we have never faced a pandemic, the majority of us, like this. The flu pandemic back in 1900s, was the last time we had as serious a pandemic that went around. Church services were disrupted, government leaders were trying to make the best decisions, and in some cases were definitely overstepping religious liberties and personal liberties in the process, thinking that they were doing what's in the best interest of society, trying to protect people. It became complicated, even for me, to deal with how do I advise churches. But every church, being independent, was responsible to seek an answer from God, direction from God, to minister as they felt comfortable. I know some ministries that did not break stride the whole time. They never changed how they did church, they never changed anything. I know most chose to follow some of the guidance, closing down for a while, operating in unique ways, online ways, and it may have opened up opportunities for some of our churches that they never thought were there. And I was glad to see that. Even with the growth, though, of online and drive-in churches and other ways of operating, VAIB felt like by May of 2020, it was time for the governor to understand he was stepping on our religious liberties. And so the steering committee or board of VAIB had a letter drafted and sent to the governor saying, "Governor, it's time for you to step back on our religious liberties and allow churches to meet in person if they so desire." Now, I'm going to tell you, not all churches did so, but we felt like it was the right thing to do because some churches did not have the challenges, difficulties, and other churches did. And so we felt like, though, it was the right thing to do. And at the same time, something else good happened, and the governor's position was being challenged by a religious liberty lawsuit, which was eventually settled, didn't go to court, but it was settled, much to our liking, because it seems to me, in my opinion, the governor basically took I'm going to step back, and unless we see some church have a huge outbreak or problem, we're not going to interfere. Can I tell you that only one church was cited that was up on the Eastern Shore, and that church, that citation was withdrawn. So in Virginia, no church was ever sued or fined where the suit continued on. I'm thankful for that. I mean, Virginia was the one that developed the Statute of Religious Liberty and the Statute of Religious Freedom that was put in the Virginia Constitution and was the model for which our first amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Folks, I am thankful for what has happened, but the fact is we are seeing continued problems and issues with COVID, and I just say we must be wise in what we do, because God does say, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And so we need to use wisdom in whatever it is we're doing. And again, I still think churches deserve to have the freedom and independence to do what they're supposed to do. Each church able to meet if that's the way they want, or to meet however they feel is best. This has been unprecedented, not just in our state, but in our country. Many are hurting. Many are still fearful. I'm thankful for the role, though, that our churches have played in hopefully carrying the light during this dark time to many who were searching for hope, and hopefully some that were saved as a result of this pandemic. And I pray that your light will also be bright and clear as you go forward in the community. This year, thanks to what happened in 2020 and 2021, new laws and regulations came into being, and it's been a challenge. As I told the Sunday school, in 2020, a record number of bills were introduced in our state legislature. We never had as many put into 2020 as was put in, 3,911 pieces of legislation. And thanks to the fact that they had complete control, the progressives and liberals had complete control of the legislature and the governor's mansion, they were able to pass anything and everything that they wanted. Now, there were a few instances of some things that even some of the liberals felt was too progressive, and they did not pass. And I'm thankful for that. And again, I think of another legislator who did not win his primary, and he had legislation that he put in that wanted to really would have done damage to churches for sure, and that's why I was greatly opposed to it. He didn't even get back. He didn't even win his primary, so he's not even an incumbent anymore, and so he's not going to be back. So I'm thankful for some of these that have had those things happen. But when 2021 came around, it was a different situation. They had gotten the majority of their legislation passed, and in 2021, only about 1,500 pieces of legislation were put in. But it's been much more complicated because of some of the issues they're dealing with. They have taken a lot of time this year to meet for the General Assembly. You may or may not know, but our General Assembly is a part-time legislature. It generally either meets 45 days or 60 days a year. And they may have special sessions, which this year we've already had one special session. And we're now getting ready to have a second special session come August the 2nd for them to figure out what to do with all the excess money that they have. Some say, why don't you give it back to the people?
Amen.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like a bad idea, does it? But some of that money is federal money, and they have to spend it in a particular way, and so they have to come through and pass legislation putting it toward those things. Well, fortunately, even out of the 1,600 bills that they put in, only 564 of those passed. So again, not a lot gets passed in most years. But my prayer is that God would help you to remember you have a mission. I know VAIB has a mission. And so long as our mission remains relevant, we will continue to do the work. But your mission is an ongoing mission instituted by God. If you're a born-again believer, you can sit back and do nothing. But then you would be like that servant that Jesus told the story about, that God gave him a certain amount of money, and what did he do? He went and buried it in the ground. He did nothing with it. Folks, you can take the talents, the blessings that God's given you, the skills that God's given you, and you can do nothing with it to help whatever ministry is you're in. Because when God called you into church, you're a part of that family. And you know how it is in families, everybody needs to pull their weight. But if you decide to do nothing, then you're actually hindering the ministry because you're not helping things to progress. So let me just say this. My prayer is that you would have a renewed burden for souls. We've got an opportunity now that some people will listen better than they have had in the past. Many that don't know him. And by the way, we are not the majority in society. I firmly believe that Christians are no longer the majority. But that means that we have more opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. Secondly, I believe we should have a peace that passes all understanding, knowing that God is in control of everything that's happening. Now, I don't believe God is a puppet master, but I believe and I know firmly that God knows the beginning to the end, and that he has a plan for each and every person to participate in order to be most effective in getting the gospel out and seeing souls saved. So number three, I hope and pray that you will have a passion to be an influence in your community, in your job, and to see souls brought to him during this following year. I'm so glad to hear you'll have Vacation Bible School. That is such a great opportunity because it's so clear that children that get saved have a much greater opportunity to grow and develop than those who get saved later in life. much harder the older individuals get to see and accept Christ as Savior. The children are much more willing. But it's sad because it's a high probability that some of the children, and the pastor alluded to this, some of the children that came to Vacation Bible School had never heard a story about Jesus Christ. The only time they heard the name Jesus Christ was as a swear word or in a curse, because they've never been to church. Do you realize that we are at a point when the number of unchurched people is at an all-time low in the United States of America and probably throughout the world? I pray that you are going to have that renewed burden. Have the peace of God. Have the passion to be an influence here in the state of Virginia. My heart is burdened to do all I can to help this church continue to be able to operate freely and unencumbered. But let me tell you something, folks. My job is not nearly as important as your job. But I'm going to continue to do all that I can do. Because as your pastor and I were talking, VAIB has been responsible. We have been the primary bringer of bills, not only to bring into being the religious exempt daycares in Virginia, but also to help with the sales and use taxes and help provide the opportunity for this church to put monies to ministry and not into taxation. And I'm so thankful for that. Through the years, I've seen bills wanting to require your Sunday school teachers to be licensed to teach children. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I never heard about that. That's because the bill never went anywhere. Because we showed it to a lot of other legislators and said, do you realize what this bill is saying? It's saying that the government knows how to tell us how to do our job. And that's not going to happen. But let me just say, there is still the strong possibility there will come a day that Christians will be the enemy of the state. Please don't think just because we're not being persecuted as some other countries that we are more favored by God. Not at all. Persecution probably will come at some time. I'm not trying to say I know when God's going to come back, because I have no clue. I'm just going to keep on keeping on until God comes back or until I pass on to glory. But the fact is, don't think that we don't deserve persecution like other countries who are suffering. The churches in China, the churches in Indonesia, the churches where they have predominant Muslim religion in those countries. Don't think that we are set to escape all that and that God loves us more because we're not suffering it. That has nothing to do with it. Think about Job and what Job went to. You think Job got what he got because God was trying to punish him? We don't understand sometimes. The plan of God is sometimes so beyond what we see, but we need to be found faithful no matter the circumstances that we face. I pray that you're going to see the flame of God's love rekindled in your heart and in your life so that the darkness will see that flame and be drawn to it, so that the lost will see Christ in you and be drawn to you. Folks, I know we have problems that we're trying to deal with, but it's more important that we show the love of Christ to draw people to us than we try to push people away. We should not be pushing people away. I know we are opposed to sin and some of the wicked lifestyles going on, but I remember when I got saved, it's no different. Sin is sin, and those people are still looking. I firmly believe that some of those people are looking for something to satisfy their life, which is why they are in those activities and lifestyles. They can't find anyone else who cares for them. Why don't we have open arms to accept some of these people in? I'm not saying we're going to give up on our doctrines and our positions, no, but help them to understand that you love them in spite of what they may believe and what they think is true. Science is not the answer. I'm so thankful that Christ is still the answer. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to encourage these folks. At least I hope I've encouraged them. And to present the gospel, the fact that our mission has not changed. The mission of this church has not changed. We are still here giving out the gospel, loving people, and hopefully seeing people saved and discipled. I pray, God, that we'll continue to give strength to this pastor. Give him wisdom and guidance. And Father, that we as a people would determine, especially those who are members of this church, to determine to be an active, working part of this family, to make a difference in this community and even around the world. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.